in the limelight.
The criticisms against U.S. President Joe Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan are coming from all corners, but most are missing the point. We now present you an article written by Sonali Kolhatkar, the founder, host and executive producer of Rising Up with Sonali, a television and radio show that airs on Free Speech TV and Pacifica stations. The piece is titled Latest U.S. Misstep in Afghanistan, Just One of Many. The article was produced by Economy for All, a project of the Independent Media Institute, which provided it to Asia Times. U.S. President Joe Biden is under a tremendous amount of pressure from his own Democratic Party and the liberal media establishment for daring to withdraw American troops from Afghanistan and allowing the country to fall back into the hands of Taliban militants. Biden, in a statement on 14th of August, said, "One more year or five more years of U.S. military presence would not have made a difference if the Afghan military cannot or will not hold its own country." Just 2 days later, after the Afghan President Ashraf Ghani fled and the Taliban stormed into the capital, Kabul, Joe Biden, in a speech from the White House, defiantly maintained that there was never a good time to withdraw U.S. forces, but was forced to admit that the Taliban resumed control of Afghanistan more quickly than we had anticipated. U.S. Republicans predictably jumped on this demonstrable foreign policy failure, neglecting to mention that it was Joe Biden's predecessor, Donald Trump, who laid the groundwork for the withdrawal of U.S. troops and worked with the Taliban to do so. U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell expostulated, "This debacle was not only foreseeable, it was foreseen," as if Donald Trump would have done any better as a second-term president. Trump's former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, in an interview on Fox News Channel with Chris Wallace, chimed in, saying, "It looks like the Biden administration has just failed in its execution of its own plan, even though, of course, the Democratic president was in essence carrying out Donald Trump's plan." The Republican National Committee has now deleted a page on its website that had celebrated Donald Trump's dealings with the Taliban, perhaps hoping no one would notice. The corporate media were equally unforgiving of Joe Biden. The Washington Post editorial board issued a scathing opinion blaming Biden for any future deaths, saying that the U.S. assumed responsibility for all Afghans. Leaving them now means walking away from that responsibility. The Washington Post also worried about America's global prestige, saying, "At risk is the United States' reputation as a partner, as would-be allies around the world watch and calculate the value of an American commitment." In a similar vein, the New York Times' Bret Stephens demanded to know what on earth was Joe Biden thinking, if that is, he was thinking. Like the Washington Post, Stephens was deeply concerned about the nation's reputation, asking, "What kind of ally is the United States?" Such criticism missed several glaring points. First, if a foreign military occupation made no progress towards the so-called democracy and human rights in 20 years, it is unlikely to do so in 20 more years. Second, they are more concerned about the United States' reputation as a global superpower, which is what the term ally really implies, than human lives. And third, although some of Americans once supported the Afghanistan war and occupation, today, most Americans want the occupation to end. Moreover, most critics of Joe Biden's botched exit from Afghanistan appear to have missed the fact that the entirety of the occupation has been flawed and led to the debacle of the Taliban's resurgence. Joe Biden's missteps were apropos of the entire occupation. Every step of the way, the United States made the wrong choice, regardless of which president, Republican or Democrat, was in power, from George W. Bush's decision to work with corrupt and violent warlords, to Barack Obama's choice to validate the Taliban by being the first to engage in peace talks with the Taliban militants. Joe Biden's fellow Democrats also joined in the criticism against him, but got much closer to the questions that really need to be asked about the disastrous turn of events in Afghanistan. Bob Menendez, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, said, "I'm disappointed that the Biden administration clearly did not accurately assess the implications of a rapid U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. More importantly, he made the astute observation that we're now witnessing the horrifying results of many years of policy and intelligence failures. Even though the U.S.-backed Afghan government has been ineffectual and corrupt directly as a result of choices that successive U.S. administrations made over the years, the Biden administration could have chosen to coordinate more closely with the institution, if only to ensure that billions of dollars worth of U.S.-bought weapons would not fall into Taliban hands." Instead, according to the Associated Press, the ultimate beneficiary of the American investment in Afghanistan's military turned out to be the Taliban, who grabbed not only political power, but also U.S.-supplied firepower, guns, ammunition, helicopters, and much more. To summarize, the U.S. went to war against Afghanistan in October of 2001 in order to supposedly punish the Taliban and Al-Qaeda for the suspicious September 11 attacks, spent nearly two decades fighting a so-called war on terror, and ended up leaving its ostensible enemy empowered both politically and militarily. American taxpayers who naively backed the invasion and occupation spent trillions of dollars in a brutal decades-long exercise in futility that resulted in lost lives, a traumatized Afghan population, and a renewal of forces that terrorized them. The Taliban couldn't have asked for a better war. It may be hard to believe that things could have been even worse under Donald Trump, but if the former Republican president were in power now, it is likely we would be witnessing a similar situation, but with even more violence. Mike Pompeo, in his Fox News Channel interview, advised the Biden administration to crush these Taliban who are surrounding Kabul, adding, "We should do it with American air power. We should put pressure on them. We should inflict cost and pain on them." Past wars have demonstrated with striking reliability that such infliction of pain is never precise and always result in so-called collateral damage, a euphemism for civilian casualties. Donald Trump had a proven penchant for using massive firepower with no regard for civilians, and with Mike Pompeo offering him advice, we would likely have seen the same situation as we are seeing today, what with the added horror of bombs falling on people attempting to flee the Taliban. The Taliban's takeover of Kabul is being likened by many to the fall of Saigon. Before the Afghanistan War, there was the Vietnam War, and there were many other wars during and before Vietnam and Afghanistan that garnered less attention. If there is a lesson that Americans, as a nation, ought to take away from these devastating militaristic exercises that consistently do more harm than good, it is to ensure we never again rally behind the desire to bomb, raid, occupy, and militarily strike another nation. This means standing up to the liberal and conservative establishments that find a detached comfort in the cold calculus of warfare with no concern for life, no concern for safety or democracy.